Sean Patrick Maloney is a Democrat from New York's 18th District. He's been with us as a congressman since 2013. Sean Patrick Maloney, thanks so much for being with us. So, do you have a lot of interns working for you now?
Yes, I always do, and they do great work.
Well, what impresses you? I was an intern in Congress. I'm very old now, but when I was very young, I was an intern in Congress. I'll never forget it. It was so great. And our congressman was a wonderful man who really did spend time with the interns. Do you learn anything from them?
You know, it's so funny you say that. I insist on having coffee with them from time to time, or inviting them into the office and just hearing what they have to say. When I was a freshman at Georgetown many years ago, I interned on the Hill, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world that a member of Congress would sit down and talk to a young person, and I still do. And it is a good way to hear what you're missing, maybe, in some of these other meetings with people your own age or with people who are telling you what you want to hear. It's great. I hope we never stop doing it. And if there are kids out there who want to intern in my office, I hope they'll reach out to us. We have a bunch of interns in the summer, but throughout the school year as well, both in Washington and in my district office in Newburgh.
Are you troubled by the fact that that Donald Trump has fired the fighting U.S. attorney, Preet Bharara?
I'm very troubled by the way it was done. It's not uncommon for a president to ask for the resignation of the U.S. attorneys. They are, after all, his appointees. But typically what happens is that's done, and then those U.S. attorneys are allowed to stay for a period of time to have a sensible transition, to finish up cases they're working on, or to hand them off to their successors. Often you'll want someone new named to the position before someone leaves. So it generally takes several months. They did this at 6 p.m. on a Friday and told them to be out of the office by midnight. That's crazy. That is bizarre. And it's particularly strange when the president himself met with Preet Bharara and told him he could stay. So why it changed, how it was done, is just unprofessional and highly, highly unusual, even though the underlying removal is sort of what presidents do. It's just never done this way.
I'm hearing a lot from people about the anchorage sites in the Hudson. You never know what's going to take off, but this is of concern. You and I have talked about it before, the idea that the Hudson River becomes a parking lot for oil tankers and others. Any progress on any of this?
Yes, people need to know I'm dead set against it. I'm deeply concerned about it. I've had the Coast Guard into my office on multiple occasions. I've questioned them in my committee where we have jurisdiction over this. I've introduced legislation recently that would prohibit the location of these barges on the Hudson River. And here's the good news. I believe that because the community has gotten the game on this and 10,000 comments came in to the Coast Guard during the extended comment period, which we insisted on, the Coast Guard really has got the message that they have enormous opposition to this locally. I'm proud to be working across the aisle with Republicans at all levels of government and Democrats to make our feelings clear on this. I think you will see this proposal get scaled way back, and I'm working every day to make the case that the Coast Guard should care about what is only in the interest of public safety. And we should not be facilitating the storage of crude on the Hudson River, because that's good for private companies, particularly because global oil prices are low and they want places to store it. I don't want to have an archipelago of oil barges up the Hudson River because it helps some private company. That's unacceptable, and I believe we will kill that idea. There are existing anchorage sites near Kingston and Yonkers, which I believe are doing the job and can be enhanced if necessary to continue doing the job, and that's it. And if the Coast Guard can make a case about how we're all in danger or there's some risks here, then I'm obviously going to take that seriously. But 10 new sites with 43 new berths is completely unacceptable, and I'm doing everything I can to kill it.
Let's spend a few seconds on railroads. I know you're very concerned about railroad safety. And I know CSX, there's been another problem on the railroad. So, Sean Patrick Maloney, give us an update on rail safety measures that you and so many others in our region are pushing.
Right. Well, we just saw another grade crossing accident in New Windsor, just south of Newburgh, last week, I believe. We had on the same day a similar accident in Mississippi with a terrible accident with a bus and a train. We know the problems center around a couple of things. First, derailments, which are caused by excessive speed. That was the Spuyten Duyvil crash. And then a lot of grade crossing accidents. That was Valhalla, which cost six people their lives. And then, of course, there's a lot of the stuff like we saw in New Windsor with a piece of equipment on the track or something else. I have successfully written into law and passed through the Congress legislation that will provide funding for communities to fix grade crossings with 90% of the money coming from the federal government. So you can put an underpass over it, or you can change the approach, or you change the grade level so buses don't get hung up on it, which is what happened in Mississippi. That's huge. In addition to that, we have to have technology, positive train control, which allows us to stop trains remotely using Wi-Fi and GPS technology. And when you link those two systems together, you can see how you can stop a train automatically and remotely if there's something on a grade crossing before the human eye can see it and manually stop the train. That's the difference between stopping in time and having an accident. So we can prevent all grade crossing and all derailment accidents, I believe, with common sense investments and better technology. I've written legislation in both of those areas. People should know we opened up, my office was instrumental in opening up $1 billion of low-interest federal financing for Metro North, which it has now accessed to the tune of $1 billion for this technology on Metro North and on Long Island Railroad. And it's being put in place right now so that within 18 months to 2 years, those lines will have technology that will stop trains that are going too fast. That's going to save human lives. And when we come to the oil trains, you know, man, we could have had a terrible accident in New Windsor because that was not an oil train, but it could have been. And it derailed actually at an oil storage facility, believe it or not, called Global, right on the Hudson River. So if you had had an oil train explosion combined with an oil train facility, we could have seen a catastrophic accident, an environmental problem, and loss of life in a preventable accident if we had better grade crossing safety and technology. I'm working very hard on it, and we're making progress.
Finally, I want to talk to you about the Affordable Care Act today. Where are we going? I mean, it's obvious that the thing is falling apart, not only in the Senate, where it was sort of expected to get a tough time, but in the House. I take it you talked to some Republicans, because after all, they need Republicans in order to pass this thing. And there does seem to be some problems with many of them. What are they saying to you?
Well, it's pretty hard for these Republican guys, because they're going home and they're getting people at the town hall meeting saying, you know, like a woman said to me, you know, my son is 19 years old and has had cancer twice. We're trying to save his life. We're worried about the cost of his drugs. We're worried about you guys kicking him off insurance because he has a pre-existing condition. You know, look me in the eye and tell me you're not going to make things worse. And this bill they came up with makes things worse. It preserves some important things like pre-existing conditions. So I guess that's good. But what it does is it throws 24 million people, 14 million just next year, off of their health insurance. And it does this because it's giving huge tax cuts to the rich and gutting programs like Medicaid, $880 billion less. That's terrible for families with kids on the autism spectrum or with somebody with a disability. You know, Medicaid is not a luxury. It is a lifeline for those folks that are vulnerable already. It whacks Medicare, which protects our seniors, because we're giving tax cuts to the rich. That's wrong. And it also has this mean-spirited attack on Planned Parenthood. It would take away all its federal funding and eviscerate that organization, which really helps local families. So there's a lot of bad stuff in this proposal. And here's the worst part, is that it doesn't fix what's wrong with our healthcare system. A lot of us want to work to fix the high cost of coverage, the cost drivers in healthcare like prescription drugs. We see the proliferation of these high deductible plans that are really hurting people. So they almost don't have coverage because, you know, they have a $10,000 deductible. There's lots of problems in healthcare that we should be working on. This Republican proposal is a bad bill, and these Republican members are really going to have to step up and protect their constituents, or I think they're going to pay a price for it.
It's always great having Sean Patrick Maloney on the show. Sean, you always show up, and showing up is two-thirds of the battle, and I so appreciate your doing it. We are in debt to you, and we thank you. And when we come back in the next round, we'll hear more.
All right. Thanks so much.